How's the economic recovery being felt outside the convention hall?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Tonight, President Obama will accept his party's nomination for president at the convention in Charlotte. Last night, former President Bill Clinton made an impassioned endorsement.
When President Barack Obama took office, the economy was in free fall. It had just shrunk 9.4% of GDP. We were losing 750,000 jobs a month. Are we doing better than that today? The answer is yes.
Well, as part of our coverage of the real economy, what matters most to voters in this election, we sent Marketplace's David Gura to North Carolina to see how people are feeling about the economic recovery there. He sent us this report from a startup in Raleigh.
Alera Labs is headquartered at a university on NC State's Centennial Campus in what's called a technology incubator. The school leases lab space to startups like this one, founded by Dimitri Mondos.
They're letting us use some of their resources because as a startup, you know, we need some sophisticated equipment these days that otherwise we wouldn't have access to.
Alera Labs isn't a big operation, at least not yet. Right now, it's just one room filled with machines. The company does chemistry work on contract for drug companies. Mondo says his small business gives him some stability, a safety net.
This is something, you know, I cannot control the economy, but I can control this, you know, to some extent, you know, because if I put, you know, 40, 60, 80 hours a week, I know that something will come out of it.
Mondos came here from Russia 20 years ago. He did a postdoc at NC State, and he knows chemistry, but he's still learning how to run a small business.
Most of the profits that we made in the first year, you know, we put it right back. We purchased new equipment, but we need to grow. And for the high-tech business, I mean, there is a lot of investment.
One of Mondos' first hires was his son, Gene, who just graduated from NC State with a degree in microbiology. Gene's looking at the November election through the prism of his dad's company.
This is going to be the first election that I will legally be able to vote. I have just become a U.S. citizen, you know, right in between the elections, so I am legit to go. So I've definitely been paying more attention to what's going on.
Gene Mondos has been studying the candidates, and he favors President Obama. He says he wants someone who will help small businesses. As for his dad...
And will you vote?
I'm not sure.
He pauses again.
Yeah, actually, I don't think I ever voted.
Dimitri Mondo says he doesn't see the impact of his one vote, and he's not sure it makes that big a difference who's in the White House. He says he doesn't like how his choices are so limited.
You know, you can only choose between two, but maybe I'm not happy with either one. So what do I do?
Dimitri Mondo says he's grateful it's a free country, and he's able to say that. In Raleigh, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Later today, gunmaker Smith & Wesson will tell us about its quarterly earnings, which come in the wake of three mass shootings. But as Marketplace's Shireen Marisol Meraji reports, those shootings haven't stopped Americans from buying firearms.
Actually, just the opposite is happening. Americans are buying more guns, says Adam Winkler, law professor
and author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America.
He says some people are worried about their personal safety.
Other people just feel that there's going to be new gun control laws and we better buy our guns now before those laws get enacted.
Kai Von Rumor is an industry analyst with Cowen & Company. He says the data backs up Winkler's claim. Gun sales were up 27% this August compared to last August.
In July, we had the Colorado shootings, and in August, we had the Empire State shooting and the Sikh Temple shooting.
But it's not just mass shootings.
I mean, it's the question, what will happen in election season? Who will get elected?
Von Rumor points to the 48% increase the month President Obama was elected. We'll see how the gun business fares this November. I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 1.3% right now in Frankfurt as we wait for today's big news from the European Central Bank, which will lay out its plan to save the euro later this morning. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 11 points to close at 13,047.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
A Manhattan appeals court has sided with the French designer Christian Louboutin in a high-profile fashion case involving the designer's signature red-soled women's shoes. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here live with more on this story. Good morning.
Hi, Jeremy.
So Louboutin gets to exclusively market those red-soled shoes?
Well, he does, right? But not everything red that costs $1,000 a pair and goes on a woman's lovely foot. The appeals court sort of split the difference here in a case that's being closely watched by designers who often end up doing similar things with style and color. So Louboutin's shoe that's got a sole painted with a glossy red lacquer, that is trademarked, but not a fancy shoe that is red on the top and the bottom, as Yves Saint Laurent has been selling.
And Mitchell, we're going to be hearing and seeing a lot more about high fashion in the coming week as Fashion Week gets underway here in New York City, right?
Right. It's fall, so we'll be seeing the spring 2013 collections. This is the high-end stuff that struts down the runway, and that signals what will be marketed to the middle and the lowbrow consumer. Here's Marshall Cohen, retail analyst at the NPD Group.
Look for color, look for print, look for pattern, and look for dramatic changes in silhouettes to try to get the consumer to re-engage with fashion. The industry has been a little bit too subdued for a while coming out of the recession, thinking that's what the consumer wanted.
And wealthy consumers have actually been buying, but middle-class people haven't exactly been rushing out to renew their wardrobes, at least until now. I'm based in Portland, Oregon, so I guess if they do that, that could mean a new plaid shirt and hiking boots. In New York, maybe you'll see a lot of fresh, bold, new red shoes.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And finally, Baskin-Robbins is trying to appeal to Americans' love for Mexican food with a new product available this month called Waffle Chip Dippers. It's a dollop of soft-serve vanilla ice cream. Looks kind of like a scoop of guacamole with a few waffle and brownie chips for dipping. Just call me when they come up with ice cream fajitas. That'd be pretty impressive. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.